Hello, my name is Carol May Wittick, and welcome to Her Conversations, Tools for the Awakening Woman. Now, HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance, and this is the optimal state to embody in order to attract our highest desires. And who is the Awakening Woman? Well, she's a woman who's seeking a greater possibility in her reality, and she's looking for solutions. She knows that being awakened is not a lofty ideal, but it's now a necessity. If she is able to transform herself, then she can change the world. Her conversations will introduce you to talented women who will speak to your spirituality, to your sensuality, and to your soul. They share their stories and explain how they are in service to the world. So let their words and these conversations embolden and inspire you. Have you ever wondered what the world looks like to a psychic? Well, today you get to find out. This week's Her Conversations is with Alexis Jones. Alexis is a natural-born psychic. She is clairvoyant, clairaudient, and she's also a certified QHHT past life regression practitioner. So I've had a few personal readings from Alexis, and I can attest to her genuine connection to spirit. Her approach is real, it's direct, and more often than not, it's usually way ahead of time as well. So for a recent experience, she'd kind of let you know if the person that you're with right now is not the person for you, whether you want to hear it or not. Anyway, in this episode, Alexis shares how she came to discover and use her gift. She also talks about the purpose of chaos and gives the best analogy of what it means to be in high vibration that I've ever heard. She also talks about the reasons that we miss the signs when our loved ones who are in spirit are trying to communicate with us. And of course, there's so much more. So at the beginning of each conversation, I ask my guests all the same question. And that question is, HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. When do you feel at your most HER?
Definitely when I'm not eating meat. I'm very much so focused on making sure that my mind, my body, and my soul are aligned. And I think that's when I'm really focusing on self-care. Mm-hmm. And giving myself permission to put me first, because I tend to put everybody ahead of me. So I definitely feel in my highest vibration when I'm really focusing on not putting low vibratory foods in my body, and I'm really just focusing on taking care of myself. You know, helpers are the people that need the most help. So just doing some self-care stuff for sure.
That's perfect. And just so everyone can get to know you a little bit better, just what is a little bit about your story? How did you get to the point where you're doing the work that you're doing now?
It's always funny to me, because I don't know how I really got here. I never planned on being a professional psychic. I never dreamed that I would ever be in this point in my life where I was dedicated to helping people spiritually. I really do feel like a lot of why I am here is because of my sole purpose. Ultimately, I grew up a very depressed kid. I've always felt different. I always felt like something was wrong with me. And, you know, unfortunately, when I was about 13 years old, I tried to commit suicide. I didn't want to be on earth anymore. And ironically, the moment that I attempted to end my life is when my clairaudience started. That's when I started hearing information very clearly. And the first set of information that I heard was that I'm not going anywhere, that I came here to do something, and I'm nowhere near complete. And that if I keep attempting to try to kill myself, I'm just going to make things worse. And that was really jarring in that moment to hear outward feedback. I had always felt everything. I had always felt people. I always say my empathy or clairsentience is my foundation gift. So I always knew that something must have been wrong with me, because everybody else was walking around fighting each other or being rude to each other, or, you know, people could walk past homeless people and not give them any money. And I just didn't understand. I didn't understand humanity. Like, I just didn't understand this place. I didn't want to be here. And so after that traumatic event of trying to end my life, again, I started hearing information, accurate information at that. And for a long time, I thought I was crazy, because it was nonstop, to be honest. And when I got in high school, around 16 or 17, that's when I started having visions. I started seeing things that were coming true. And I truly believe that I was schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. And one day when I was about 17 years old, I was crying in my room. I had looked up signs of schizophrenia, and I had pretty much all of the signs, and I hadn't told anybody. And the next morning, I kid you not, my grandmother called me and she says, "Hey, I had a dream that you were crying. Don't worry, you're not crazy. Just come to my house after school and I'll explain everything to you." And I was extremely shocked because I hadn't told anybody. I didn't understand how my grandmother knew that I was crying. And I went to her house after school as she instructed, and she told me, "Listen, I know this may sound weird, but intuitive abilities runs in our family. You know, I'm very clairvoyant. Your mother, she has abilities. She doesn't think I know, but I know." She was like, "You have abilities, and that's pretty much all that's going on with you." And I'm sure you can imagine my shock, because it was a lot to process, because I've known my grandmother my whole life, and I've never known this version of her, you know, the psychic version of her or intuitive version of her. And sadly she passed away a couple of weeks later, but I would say that whole kind of period from 13 to 17 definitely laid the foundation in me beginning the process of realizing that I'm not crazy. A lot of things happened after that that led me to here, but I would always say that that was a bigger part, because oftentimes a lot of people that experience intuition, they think that they're going mad. So it made such a difference to me to have someone kind of tell me that I'm not. So I would say that's where it started, where I started to realize that maybe there was a little bit something to what I was feeling, what I was seeing, and what I was hearing.
Mm-hmm. And when did you actually actively start to use the gifts that you have and build the confidence to not just know that you're not crazy? It's like, now you've got this thing. When did you actually start to do something?
Another traumatic event. Oftentimes chaos breeds light. That's just how the universe works. That's how our universe works. But so in my 20s, I moved to Las Vegas, where I still currently reside. And it's the desert. Nothing grows in the desert. So this isn't like the most happiest place on earth. So I struggled with depression and loneliness, and I developed a drinking problem. I actually had a drinking problem since I was a teenager, because I used to drink to try to drown out the voices in my mind. And being in Vegas and being alone, you know, and drinking alone, I kind of developed an issue. And I bought a car. I had the car for 3 days, took it around the corner to get gas, and unfortunately I had been drinking. You know, if you get a DUI, you get arrested. So you go to jail, which is not a good time. It's a very sobering experience, pun intended. Mm. And at the time that I got into my car accident, I was working for customer service for a cable company from home. And it was a couple of days after I got out of jail, and a customer was just screaming in my ear, this old lady, something about her cable. And I just hung up the phone. Had this can't be the reason why I'm here. And I heard clear as day in my head, "Well, you know, everyone says that you're psychic," because my whole life I've been hearing, you know, "How do you know that?" Or, "Why are you asking me that? How did you know?" And even though, you know, again, my grandmother had already told me, I didn't really, I mean, I knew, okay, I'm not crazy, but it wasn't like I was just super sold on the fact that I was a psychic. But I had bills to pay. I had basically quit my job when I hung up on that customer. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's see this psychic thing. And literally about 20 minutes after I hung up on the customer, I went online and I started applying to psychic hotlines and psychic websites. And one of the websites immediately contacted me back and said, "Well, we have to set up a test reading. And if you can pass the test reading, you can go ahead and work on our site." And inside I'm like, what? I've never given anybody a reading before. So I do the test reading. They were like, "Oh yeah, wow, that's great, that's accurate." So I'm like, okay. And I started working on this psychic website. And I mean, I just kept getting 5-star reviews. It became evident to me that I am actually psychic. And then I would say about a year or two of working on the website, I decided to create my own business, because I still don't like, I don't like how psychics are portrayed in this industry, and I don't like how certain psychics portray themselves to feed that perception, if that makes sense. Because I'm nothing like an average psychic. I don't talk in a super calm voice. I don't tell people what they want to hear. I'm not a fortune teller. So I wanted to create my own website to where I could give readings in a way that I felt like was authentic to me, and that gave me the leeway to help people without that time crunch or that per minute. So yeah, I would say drinking and driving is what redirected my life here. And it's been about 5 or 6 years that I've had my own business. So
amazing. Yeah. And like we've talked about this before, and I know that you're part of helping this come, and we can't deny that there's something that's happening in the world right now. There's something that's occurring. Everyone's getting to the point where there's a restlessness, there's a need to do something useful. And if you're not in the right relationship or job, or if you don't feel that you're in the right place, then you feel compelled to make a difference in terms of like to change your life. Or if you stay there, then it becomes a real problem. So, and there's so much. Everyone's getting scared. It looks like the world's just like falling to bits. We've got like crazy people in power. There's like terrorist attacks and violence and separation and racism just seems to be at an all-time high. All the spotlight on it just seems to be at an all-time low. It feels like things are getting worse. And then on the other side, there seems like things are kind of breaking down. And then we're hearing things, or we're hearing, there are more words like shift and awakening and like new dimensions and moving forward. And from a soul purpose, what does that mean? How can people start to make sense of it? Especially when, for myself, I know I could say maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was a period of time that I can pretty much look back on now and go, that was my dark night of the soul. Because it all literally fell apart, and it took a few years for everything to kind of start to piece it all back or make sense of knowing that I couldn't go back and having to go forward. But at the time it was horrible. So I can appreciate people who are just starting to go through that period of time in their lives.
Yeah. I mean, well, basically what's going on globally is kind of what you described happened with you, or what I described happened with me. In a nutshell, our universe is pillared on certain universal laws, certain things that are just fact, just truth, cause and effect, or the universal law of karma. One of the universal laws that I've noticed is that chaos breeds good change. Mm-hmm. When someone is pregnant and they're giving birth, it's gonna hurt like hell, but from this thing that hurt, this emotional pain, this physical pain, comes life, comes miracle. You know, from me trying to commit suicide and drinking and driving, I ended up being a psychic medium who has now life purpose. A lot of times what happens is we need the trauma to wake us up. As a soul, when we come into Earth, when we come into our incarnation, our family, our lives, we forget everything that we did before that. Right? Because if we come into this life with memories of our past lives and all the things that we've done, we wouldn't be able to like focus on what we're doing. Now, unfortunately, we are living in a time on Earth where universally everyone is, sleep is an understatement. I feel under hypnotic trance. We're constantly being bombarded with, you got to pay your taxes, you got to do this, this is the way you got to do it, this is the way you got to do it. Christopher Columbus discovered a place that already had people. You know, we're getting all of these like intense lies. And what's happening, which is so beautiful, is that Earth, who is a living organism herself, the universe, that's the stars, the moon, other planets, other beings that exist from other planets, all are aware of the low density of vibration that us as human beings are vibrating from. We are children of Earth. Our job was to protect our other children, those are the animals, and protect ourselves so that we can grow. And we've lost sight of that because of powers that be, society, whatever. So what's actually happening is Earth and the universe are trying to help humanity wake up. And in order for us to wake up, unfortunately, we need chaos. Kind of think about if you're sleeping, your alarm that you set isn't whispering in your ear, wake up, right? It's a drawing noise to get you to wake up from your sleep. So chaos is kind of the alarm clock, so to speak, that wakes people up. And I think that's a lot of what's going on right now. We're seeing a lot of people uncomfortable in their lives. We're seeing a lot of people feeling like how I felt, right? Just want to hang up on the customer because there got to be more to my life than this, you know? And people are afraid of that because you think, well, I need this job. I need this. I have to have this. But trust and believe the universe is going to step in and shake everything up for you to show you, no, you don't. And I know that that may be scary if I had your boss fire you, but I had the boss fire you because you weren't quitting on your own. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a lot of what we're seeing, whether it's with weather, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's even inner turmoil, that chaos is actually assisting us in realizing, you know what, whoa, I have to start doing things different. We have to start doing things different. Whoa, I didn't even realize that. You know, you said something about racism. It's always been here. We're just now aware again, right? We're being made aware again. The last thing I just want to say is in the 60s and in the 70s, we went through this already. That whole free love, it's the time of Aquarius, hippie movement. We were at a place where we were ready to vibrate higher again, where we were going to say, hey, you know what? There are no colors. You know what? Let's put an end to segregation. Unfortunately, not to get too X-Files-y into it, but the powers that be, government, society, whatever, had to shut that down. Because, see, you can't control the masses unless you have fear. And so enter the Vietnam War, right? Enter heroin. Enter the 80s with crack. So all that free love, hippie, let's vibrate higher, that was gone. So we're right back at that again now, 2017. We're at that place again where we're starting to see, hey, these drugs, they're killing us. Hey, these wars, they're senseless, you know? But it's going to be up to us collectively to not allow the opposing vibration of fear to lullaby us back to sleep, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I went a little bit all over the place, but I think a lot of the shift that's happening is because Earth and the universe, other beings, our guides, angels, the invisible realm, they want humanity to be in its full potential. We are nowhere near our full potential of a loving society, you know? So that's a lot of what I think is going on. I think it seems scary, but I think how else are you going to wake up? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
And when you're talking about vibration, now then there's a lot of people talking about that vibration and energy and these kind of things. What does it mean to kind of vibrate higher? How do you get yourself to that higher vibration state? I mean, I name this higher energetic resonance because for myself, yeah. I know when you're at this thing, what actually comes in. What can people do what can we as women do who want to live in that state and understand when we're in that higher energetic resonance, when we're in our her state, what actually starts coming into our lives that's positive for us?
Well, my first suggestion would be to make vibration and energy be a tangible thing, because energy is obviously invisible, right? No one sees it. And I think it's hard for people to raise their vibration when they're like, what is that? So the first thing is that people have to understand you are a soul having a human experience. You are not a person. You are not a physical being. You're having this physical experience. Your energy, when your mom was growing you in her stomach, you started off as a heartbeat. Your heartbeat developed before your heart. So your heart beating in your chest is setting a vibration, okay? So this is something real, not something tangible for you. You are constantly vibrating just because of the fact that your heart is pumping blood, okay? That boom, 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 boom. Now, on a level, when people say raise your vibration or you're in a lower vibration, what that basically means is there are certain emotions that will keep you in a lower vibratory state. That's fear, worry, anxiety, stress. When I say a lower vibratory state, that means you feel sad. You don't feel at your best. You don't want to go out. You're insecure, low level type of feelings, meaning you don't feel good, you don't feel great. When you're in a low vibratory state, okay? Because now going to the universal law that like attracts like, you're now attracting low vibratory things, meaning people that are shitty, people that suck, excuse my French, people that may suck, abusive relationships. Mm. This isn't because you deserve this. This is because you're sending out a signal, because the universe isn't biased. It's just going to give you what you give, mm-hmm. right? So you're sending out a signal, yeah, sad, depressed, low vibratory. So it's like, okay, well, we'll give you more of that. When you decide to say, you know what, I want to be happy. I want to smile. I want to laugh. I want to do things that put a, you know, make me feel good. I want to dance. These things put you in a higher vibratory state, meaning I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. And I'm attracting now things that match that. When you're vibrating at a higher state, imagine that the fan has turned on. So when a fan turns on, you no longer can see the blades, right? You would even say to someone that doesn't know anything about fans, there are no blades, right? Because when it's moving so fast, all you see is that the air is coming through the fan, right? This is the same thing at vibrating at a higher vibratory state. So the faster you're moving in your energy, the more invisible a person can become. This is why the spiritual realm is, you can't see it with your physical eye. It's not because it's not physically there, right? It's because spirit vibrates at such a fast state. Like imagine like if a fan is on, you cannot see it. That's how fast it's moving. Now, as human beings, we have physical bodies. So ultimately, we're always going to kind of be vibrating in a pretty low state because to be physical, you have to vibrate low. But remember, your soul inside, your energy, you're a part of that spirit world still. So in order to maintain balance, you have to give yourself permission to do things that raise your vibration, meaning make your vibration move faster. And those are things that put us in a happier state. That's why you ever heard when someone says, I feel light on my feet, right? When they're maybe dancing with the love of their life. Oh, I couldn't even feel my feet. I felt so light. Or when you fall in love, right? And it feels like this cloud that you're on, floating on cloud nine. You're not actually floating, right? You're vibrating at such a higher state that that's what it feels like for you. Mm-hmm. And happy emotions do that. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when someone says smile, that's going to make you feel better, or that raises your vibration, it truly does. Things that uplift your soul, music, mm-hmm. creativity, connecting with nature, that sense of, this is why earlier when you asked me about when do I feel my most highest, I said when I'm not eating meat, right? Because meat is a very dense energy. It's a dead body. So when I put that inside of me, I feel dense. I feel low. But when I'm eating fruit and I'm eating vegetables and I'm juicing, oh, I'm like, what? I'm not big. I'm a big girl. I don't feel big. So it's just about really being conscious of doing anything that makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that may not be the same suggestions as others. So I know for creative types, they may feel really great writing. Me, I hate writing. It puts me in such an anxious, low state. So you got to really ask yourself, what do I like? What brings me peace? What brings me joy? What type of people do I like being around? That's what's going to put you in a higher vibratory state. So that's kind of what it means when people say you're vibrating low or you're vibrating high. You know, it's understanding that you are an energetic being having this human experience, you know, and it's being aware and conscious that even though you may not physically see energy, that doesn't mean it's not there. You know, like when you cut that fan on, the blades are still there. It's just moving very fast. Mm-hmm. So, if that makes sense.
That was beautiful. And just thinking about the, because we're just bombarded by this fear narrative, you know, it's on social media, it's in the magazines, it's on the TV, it's when you walk down the street, it's in the adverts. There's just things that are constantly there to pull you down, to keep you at that lower state. And even though we know the things that we need to do or should be doing to bring us out of that state, sometimes your guard is not always there, especially if you're, you know, going through a trying time personally, or you're trying to work things out, or you can be in it for a couple of weeks and then one thing will throw you back. How can you start to really shield yourself from the fear narrative and all the messages that are coming to, because there is a benefit for us all to be at a fear on a fear level, and how do we pull ourselves out of that and keep ourselves higher?
You know, consciousness of self. People use the word, I'm woke, or, you know, are you conscious? But people don't really know what that means, because we're always conscious of each other, right? We're able to point out what everybody else is doing and what everybody else needs to do. But it's very rare that we know how to be conscious within ourselves. So I would say the first thing for sure is you got to be honest with yourself. You have to know when you're being an asshole. You have to know when you just don't feel like it. You have to know when, you know, I'm not fighting for the best version of me. Look, life is hard. You know, I have to tell that to my clients all the time. I'm sorry to break the news to you. It's not easy here. And so the first thing I would say is to almost expect difficulty, and then to hold yourself accountable to what part am I playing in my own life, you know? That's extremely important, because you can't shield out outside noise if you're not acknowledging self. If you're only focused on, you know, I have a lot of clients that'll say, it's hard for me to shield my energy because everyone at my job sucks, and this person sucks, and that person's mean, and that... Absolutely, but they get to be that way. They get to be sucky humans. Your job is to say, you know what, but that's not something that I want in my life. So are you taking accountability and knowing that you work in a shitty environment and looking for better work? Are you taking accountability and saying, do I even like the type of work that I'm doing? Am I putting myself out there to look for jobs that I think will make me more happier? Right? Because yes, you can do these wonderful meditative techniques. I would also say go to YouTube, you know, follow meditations, you know, work with crystals, do visualizations, read. You have all of those techniques. But I say ultimately it just comes down with you being honest with yourself if you're participating in your life to raise your vibration and to shield your vibration. Again, when I quit my job, that was the last job I worked at, that was the beginning of me saying, I'm not going to choose to do things I don't want to do. Sorry, not sorry. I'm not going to be around people that don't make me feel good. Sorry, not sorry. It starts with taking accountability in your own life and doing a personal inventory and then saying, but am I doing everything I can to bring me happiness? Because the phrase is the pursuit of happiness. Pursuit is a verb. And I can tell you from doing thousands of readings, a lot of people are under the impression happiness is supposed to pursue them. And when it doesn't, what's the problem? What's the problem, God? Why is happiness not pursuing me? It's like, yeah, that's not how it works. So personal accountability is what I would say. And shifting to a victorious mode, not being afraid to take control over your life, not be afraid to plant seeds into the universe as far as what you want. You know, a lot of people told me, really, you're gonna be psychic now? And it's like, well, I'm not gonna be psychic. I've always been this way, but I just want to see what happens if I try to pursue it as my life work. Other people didn't get it, but it wasn't for them to get. So that's the other thing I would say. I would want the women watching or listening to your podcast to release the need to have someone co-sign a message that God gave them. God gave you this memo to be a singer, to be an actress, or to be a life coach, or to be a traveling yogi. They didn't give it to your friend, or to your mother, or to your uncle. So if they don't understand, that's not them rejecting you or saying that you can't do this. That's just them simply not understanding. That's very different than you shouldn't do this yourself. You know, so just be conscious of self. That's what I would say. I think that's where it starts, with raising a vibration, understanding vibration, shielding your energy from the world, taking personal accountability. That makes sense.
Beautiful. All of it makes sense. You know, it makes sense to me. And you may have kind of touched on this just now, but if you would say, just in all the readings that you've done, and all the conversations that you've, and all the messages that have come through you, would you say there would be one theme or one message or at least one kind of overall truth that spirit wants us to know, to be aware
yes.
of? What is
yes.
it we need to remember?
You are a walking, talking miracle. Mm-hmm. Your fingerprint is one of one. That is how unique you are. You are not designed to be anything that other people are telling you you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You came into this life with those blueprints already inside of you. And it is your job as a human being to take the time to see, who am I? There's a quote that I love. Who would you be if the world didn't tell you who you were? Mm. And that's what I find that people's guides always come through wanting people to realize, hey, I see your soul, that inner you that you always shush and hush down. That's what we fight for. We fight for the version of you that you don't believe can survive here, that you don't believe can be successful here. That's who I advocate for. Because that's why you came to Earth. You did not come to Earth to pay taxes. That is not real. Right? You did not come to Earth to get like a 40-year mortgage. That's not real. That's real for this time, yes. But you are timeless. Mm. When you really understand what energy is, which means like you don't even care about this kind of stuff deep down. And this is why people are killing themselves and, you know, falling into addictions and feeling like they're lost if they don't have their twin flame or soulmate, because this society has trained you to not even trust your inner voice, right? They tell you your imagination, that's frivolous. It's your imagination. Don't pay any attention to that. They tell you that if you're hearing information, oh, you must be crazy. Oh, you have to be crazy. Something's wrong with you. So you're raised to literally distrust yourself. So I would say, if anything, no, screw that. You are you. Like, you know, if anything, it makes more sense to listen to yourself and to honor yourself. The only thing I would say to that, though, is that if honoring yourself means honoring low vibratory feelings, meaning, well, I truly feel like I suck. I really think that I'm ugly. I really feel like, you know, I shouldn't be here. That's not you. That's your emotional state attracting low vibratory thoughts. Okay. So that's going a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole as far as like where information is coming from. But I would just ultimately say your soul is a spark from the creator. Mm-hmm. And the creator, whether you say God, Allah, Yeshua, Jehovah, goddess, whatever you believe in, it wants the best for you. Mm. It wants you to be able to physically be an expression. And that's not negative. It's beautiful. Mm. And if you find that you're not feeling that way, if you're feeling more lower type of emotions, that's your first sign and symbol, not that something's wrong, but that it's time to change. And it's time to give yourself permission to find something that makes you want to be here. Because whether you like it or not, your soul chose this. And there's a reason. So yeah, just knowing that you're more than what this world has told you, and to give yourself permission to explore that inner voice and know that there's nothing wrong or crazy about that, you know, because your inner voice may be something very different than the life that you're leading.
Just to kind of tap onto the end of that as well, for the people who are in one position and they've built an entire life on not who they really are, and they've maybe managed to go for a year, 2 years, decades, got married to someone, built a family with somebody, built an entire life on an idea, and still have that voice. It's like, how do they find the courage?
Yeah, well, I would say don't just quit everything like I did. don't take that route. I always say plant seeds. So basically what this means is going back to what I said earlier about being honest with yourself. So the first thing is, if you know I'm living a lie, I'm in a relationship I don't like, I'm in a life I don't like, stop beating yourself up that you know that. Because I have a lot of clients that feel guilty at their truth. So that's the first thing. Don't feel guilty that you know I don't really want to do this. The second thing I would say is, once you kind of accept and come to terms with the fact that I want a completely drastic different life, or I want a different relationship, or I want a different this, phase out slowly by planting seeds. So when I say that, I mean start looking at jobs that you would want to do, even if you believe you would never get them, even if you feel like I don't have the resume, it doesn't even matter. You have to start sending signals out into the universe that you are open for this thing. Because again, the universe is going to give you what you get. So just thinking, right? Just researching, just putting yourself into a mind frame of what would it be like if I was with the type of person that I want to be with or at this type of job. That's what I mean when I say planting seeds. As you begin to plant seeds, literally, what do seeds do? They start to take root, they start to germinate, they start to grow. So what's going to happen over time is you're going to set yourself up in a way where, well, huh, I actually got an interview at my dream job. Even though nobody knows that I want to quit the job I have, I went and I did the interview, I got the job. Now I don't feel bad quitting the job that I had for 30 years. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I set myself up to transition out. With a relationship, I would say don't be sketchy and you don't want to plant seeds elsewhere because that's kind of sketchy and that's called cheating. With relationships, whether they're relationships with your family members that you feel like are very dominating, or you're in a long-term relationship and you're afraid of hurting the person, you have to start to be honest. Again, first be honest with yourself, because that's where you're going to build up the strength to start being honest with other people. But you're doing no one a favor by staying with someone that you don't want to be with, because now you're robbing that person of an opportunity to be with someone that they want, or that they, or who would want them, if that makes sense. So instead of feeling guilty that if you leave them, you're going to hurt them, you know, you need to start realizing, am I really doing them service by staying? So again, honesty, and beginning the process in your own life to chisel out the path that you feel you might want to walk on. Because once you have chiseled out enough of that path, you'll feel confident to walk on it. Again, me, I'm someone, I operate in faith. I just up and quit things. I wouldn't recommend that. But for everyone else, I would say just plant seeds in the life that you want. And sometimes, and the last thing I'll say is, it doesn't always have to be an announcement. We have this thing where we need other people to agree. You really don't. I did this whole psychic thing for 5 years, and I would say only like 3 people in my personal life knew. I didn't tell others, not because I was ashamed, but because I wasn't ready to explain what I was doing, because I didn't even know myself. I wasn't sure if this was going to be something that I was going to continue doing. It was only until I really realized, like, yeah, I'm a psychic medium. You know, I'm a light worker. I'm into past life regression. Until I felt comfortable in my truth, that's when I started sharing it. Because I still get people that'll be like, really? I mean, that's weird. Yeah, weird for you. But I'm okay with it because I'm in my path. So that's what I would ultimately suggest, is to start planting seeds with what you want to do. You know, transition out in a way that you're comfortable with. You don't need other people's opinions immediately. I think that's what puts people in fear of, like, well, will other people understand that I want to quit my job and be a doula? I have one of my clients, she works in the, like not Hollywood, but radio, TV industry, and she wants to be a doula, you know? And in her reading, I didn't know that she wanted to be a doula, but her guys were coming through and saying she's a natural healer. They threw in a little bit of her past life, that she always worked in these women's villages and did so much work for women, and that's where her soul was calling her. And then, you know, she admitted in the reading, like, you know, I really just want to be a doula, but I just feel like it's so random. You know what I mean? And I'm like, but it's not random. Your guys are validating, like, this is soul work. You come in life after life helping women. So if in this life, maybe you're doing TV and radio and other people think that's a good job, your soul is calling you to do something else. So what her guy suggested was, why not take doula classes? You don't have to tell anybody. Take the classes, you keep going to work, and if you find that I really like this and I really want to do this, do it. I mean, it's just, we overcomplicate being ourselves because this society has structured us to ask for permission. You don't need permission to be her, right? To be you. You really don't.
And just talking about guides, how can anyone who thinks they're not particularly psychic start to communicate or notice that their guides are with them, or that the guides are trying to give them guidance? How can you tap into that?
That's like an iffy question to me, only because we're living in a very spiritually charged time. And so I feel like if you asked me this a couple of years ago, I would say trust your inner voice. Your inner voice is your higher self. But I do feel like we're living in a times where the veil is becoming thinner, and low vibratory beings are starting to talk to people as well and kind of feed on their emotional state. So I would say, first and foremost, to yes, trust your inner voice, but only if it's coming from a higher place, meaning it's suggesting good things, it's building you up. Your spirit guides have very specific traits as far as high-level spirit guides. They are not interested in planting seeds of anxiety or fear. Okay, that's like the opposite of their job. So if your inner voice is like, oh my God, this is so bad, this is gonna be so nerve-wracking, those aren't your guides, okay? So you wanna, I would say, first recognize the imprint of what a high-level guide is. They're helpful, they're loving, they're guiding. So if your inner voice is that, trust that. If you would like to get to a place where you can hear that type of information, this goes back to raising your vibration again. In order to, because like attracts like, in order to work with your high level guides and angels to the point where you can hear them, because they're always with you, you need to kind of come up to their level, right? So being mindful if you're clean, being mindful if you're eating clean, being mindful if my thoughts are clean. Do I play rap music that's always talking about killing, or do I listen to some Sade when I'm stressed? So when you adjust your own energy, it's going to be very natural for you to start to not only hear the information, but you'll notice signs from the universe. It could be like, you know, I've always dreamed of going to Costa Rica, and then all of a sudden you may notice you're just seeing a lot of Costa Rica commercials on the TV. That's the signs from your guys in the universe that they support you and they support that. So being observative with your eyes, not being dismissive, I would say. We're trained to be very dismissive. So you know that information is coming from your guides or your angels when it feels like it's coming. It's almost like you're reviewing the information like, oh, okay, I never thought about that. Versus a want or a desire coming from you. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to explain only because to me it's just very like natural. So I don't know what it's like, to be honest, not to hear information or not to feel or not to see information. So I can only say that I want people to learn how to pay attention more. Mm. Be still with yourself. A lot of people are so anxious because of Earth, because of wars. It's hard for you to hear your guides. And you have to realize, if I'm vibrating low, if I'm anxious and worried, I'm not going to hear them, even if they're right there. I do readings where your loved ones, they're literally standing in front of you talking to you. But because you're so worried that they're lost, or you're so scared that you'll never see them, you can't hear them. You can't smell their cologne. You can't recognize the fact that their favorite song keeps playing on the radio, right? Because you're so worried. So you have to remove these low vibratory feelings. You gotta be on top of your mental health, your soul health, your spiritual health. No one's gonna do that for you. I know I threw a lot of different things in there, but it's in order to get to the place of discernment, you have to work on your own emotional and mental state, because you're not gonna trust yourself. They can say, okay, your friend is about to call you, and then your friend calls you. You'll be like, oh my God, I must be crazy. We want to hear them, but then we dismiss them. Mm-hmm. So leaving, trusting, raising your vibration. Mm-hmm. I hope that helps. I don't know if it does.
It always does. So just closing questions now that I'd like to know. What would you say was the best piece of advice that any woman has given to you?
I thought a lot about this, and it's what's really interesting about this, and I'm glad that you're having this podcast. A lot of the advice I realize that I value actually come from men. So I had to really dig deep, but I would have to say my grandmother, I'm going to clean it up what she said, but she basically said, as a woman, we are the most powerful, and we don't even know it. Men will do anything for certain things that a woman can give. Kingdoms have been warred over for women. And basically what she was telling me is, don't ever forget your power. Don't ever forget, as a woman, your power. As a woman, you should never be homeless. As a woman, you should never be without. As a woman, you should never feel like you can't do something. Not when you can look and witness what men do. Even like you, it's so funny. Even when you look at these rap stars, right? They get all this money to throw on women. Mm-hmm. But women are so insecure, feeling like, no, I need his attention. They're doing all of this for you. You know, we birth nations. We raise nations. My grandmother pretty much said, like, power of the P. Don't forget. And I don't mean just sex. It's you as a woman. We are very powerful, and we have forgotten. They doing all of this for us, you know? So she said, don't ever feel powerless. If you're a woman, never.
And who do you feel as a woman represents that higher energetic resonance, that her energy?
Definitely living Queen of Four. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people go for Oprah, but no. I'm definitely going to say Queen of Four. She is an author. She is a wellness practitioner. She has dedicated her life to empowering women, to empowering men and women, really. But she's dedicated to bringing natural order and restoring the natural way. And I respect anyone that dedicates their life to help raise the vibration of people or earth. And I think that, I mean, I heard about her for the first time from my mom when I was like 10, and I'm 33, and I'm buying her books. I recommend her books. I take her classes because I know that she doesn't just talk the talk, she walks the walk. And that is always a lot more powerful to me than a teacher that just teaches. But when I look, I don't see what they're teaching in their life. You know, so I would say Queen of Four. I would recommend every woman to research her, buy her books, mm-hmm. if you want to restore natural health and natural wellness back in your life.
Mm-hmm. And I took that up from you as well. And your favorite self-care ritual or practice?
Spiritual baths. Spiritual baths actually go back into a lot of Native cultures, whether Native American, African, Indian, I mean, Indian from India. Spiritual baths are so empowering and so invigorating. You know, you put a little essential oil in the water, maybe a little sea salt, you know, you light a candle and just reconnect to yourself, you know, release the frustrations of the day. And there's something about that oil and getting out of that bath, you feel like femme divine. At least I do. It really, for someone that grew up with a lot of low self-esteem, I feel like it reaffirms that I'm beautiful, that I'm a woman, that I am goddess. I just love spiritual baths. So, yeah.
Goddess. And what's next for you? What's next in your life? What are you doing
about that? I'm a psychic medium to the day I die. That's just the type of person I am. But I definitely feel like I don't want to do readings for the rest of my life, only because it's very draining and I feel that it's very limited. I can only talk to one person at a time. My soul and my guides have definitely been pushing me into teaching. So I'm developing a lot of online courses. I think though, for sure, my passion lies with past life regression, hypnotherapy, and just using hypnosis for healing techniques in general. And opening up a wellness center to just help people connect to their own past lives. I feel like, listen, it's super powerful that I can tell you who you are and you can validate it. Cool, I'm psychic. But I actually think it will be a lot more helpful and beneficial if out of your own mouth, you can connect to your higher self. Out of your own mouth, you can connect to your guides. Out of your own mouth, you can connect to, you know, your past lives so that you can see what lessons that you need to learn. Out of your own mouth, you can go into traumatic moments from this life and heal the hurt. So I'm focused more on healing. And even though the readings, they do heal people, the type of readings that I do, we're living in such a time where I feel like I have to reach more people. So teaching and past life regression is definitely where I want to go, and energy healing. I love energy healing. This is why I have my table right here. So I do a lot of Reiki stuff as well.
All the good stuff. And for people, ladies, women who want to find you online, reach out to you, what's the best way? What are the best channels to find you?
Definitely my website, www.oneancientsoul.com. You can also Google One Ancient Soul. You'll see my Yelp reviews come up, my Facebook reviews, my YouTube channel. So, but One Ancient Soul is pretty much my brand. So you could just Google that or go to my website. You can find me.
Okay, so how juicy was that conversation? Just want to say again to Alexis, thank you so much for joining me on Her Conversations. I truly, truly appreciate it. And I know that everyone will get to love you and your approach to all things spiritual. It's what's needed right now. And just a reminder is that if you do like what you've heard, then press the subscribe button. And next week, of course, I can promise you, you're going to have another fantastic guest on Her Conversations. You can also find me at my website, and that's carolmaywhittick.com, carolmaewhittick.com. And if you're there, you can also join my mailing list. You can read up on my blog and see what else I'm up to. And then also you can find me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And my handle, in short, is Kazmik, so C-A-Z-M-I-C-K. Thank you so much for joining me on this one, and see you again on the next one. Take care. Thank you.